We have some great Hall of Fame birthdays to talk about today. Donnie Anderson, Eddie Casey, Thurman Thomas, and Jim Langer, all in the Hall of Fame, and we're going to talk about their great careers, and it's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with their tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen for this May 16th edition of our Gridiron Headlines, because we have a couple of great birthdays of Hall of Famers we're going to discuss, and boy, they have some interesting stories. And we're going to go all the way back, starting off on May 16th, 1894, in Natick, Massachusetts. Eddie Casey, Harvard's halfback in 1916, and also in the season of 1919, arrived in this world. The National Football Foundation's website bio on Casey informs the reader that Eddie was a ferocious tackler, but he always had a boyish grin when he helped up his opponent after the tackle. The description tells me that he played hard, but loved the game and had fun playing it. He was well-liked by his teammates and opponents alike. One story tells of how some rival Yale team members invited Casey to dinner one evening. There was a crude conversation of raw meat football styles until the Eli captain finally asked Eddie how he would like his steak prepared. "Just run the steer in here and I'll take a swipe at him," was Casey's quick reply. Natick Eddie had a quickness and agility that made him a standout player on both sides of the ball. He started as a freshman in 1916 and then served in the Navy during World War I, when Harvard, like most schools, suspended the varsity competition. He then returned in 1919 season, and Casey led the Crimson through a perfect 10-game regular season and a 7-6 victory over Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Casey earned All-America honors that year, and Eddie Casey received the great honor of being selected for inclusion into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1968. And after his playing days were long over, we had this from the newspapers.com football history headline of the day pop up on December 10th, 1930 in the Boston Globe. It said, "Casey, head coach of Harvard 11. Yes, Casey returned home to coach the Crimson, but it wasn't his first coaching gig. Eddie had guided Mount Union in 1920 and 1921, Tufts University from 1922 to 1925, and then the Harvard freshman squad in 1926 through 1928. Longtime Harvard coach Arnold Horween had just announced late in the season on the eve of the game against Army that he would be stepping down at the end of the 1930 season. Casey was a natural replacement, as he did well at the helm of the Crimson, sporting four seasons, compiling a 20-win, 11-loss, and one-tie record. That's according to the American Football Database. He was also the head coach of the Boston Redskins of the National Football League in 1935, and as the Pro Football Reference lists him playing that season too for Boston as a player coach. And look out, Tom Brady, he was at the ripe old age of 41. He later coached the Boston Bears of the Third American Football League, yes, the Third AFL, in 1940. The article notes that Casey also played professional football in 1920 for the Buffalo All-Americans. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like we did through the Boston Globe, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating back to 1798 all the way to last week. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And yeah, I mean, you could check out just about anything you want to do. If you want to read about the debut of Mario Lemieux's NHL inaugural game, you can look at that. If you want to look at the 1942 NFL draft, you can find that in multiple newspapers. There's all kinds of things, and it's not just sports, folks. You can go back and read about World War I, World War II, probably about the Civil War. I'm sure they have articles on that. So just about anything, and it's got a powerful search engine at newspapers.com. You can find just about anything you need, and it's really cool. You're actually looking at a digital copy of that newspaper, and it's a really a slick thing. So make sure you get that free one-week trial at sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. May 16th, 1943, Borger, Texas. Donnie Anderson, who was the 1963 to 1965 starting halfback of Texas Tech, was born. Donnie's NFF bio lists that he was also known as the Golden Palomino as a two-time All-American halfback in 1964 and 1965. He had some splash plays almost from the get-go, for as a sophomore at Tech, he intercepted a pass and ran 43 yards against Washington State. As a junior, his stat line included a 90-yard run from scrimmage against Texas Christian and a 68-yard punt against Southern Methodist. The more he played, the better he got. In his senior season, Donnie was off the charts. That 1965 season, Anderson ran a kickoff back 100 yards against Oklahoma State, caught 10 passes against Arkansas, and scored 17 touchdowns on the season. The Sporting News named him the co-winner with Jim Grabowski of Illinois of its Player of the Year award. His 5,111 yards on all-purpose running was a Texas Tech record. And this is his career yardage by rushing, receiving, kick returns, and interception returns. The National Football Foundation selected Donnie Anderson for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989. Donnie enjoyed 9 seasons at the professional level as a player, too. The Pro Football Reference website shares that he spent 6 seasons with the Green Bay Packers, winning 2 Super Bowls and 2 NFL championships, and 3 more years as a St. Louis Cardinal. During his NFL stint, he tallied almost 4,700 yards with a 3.9 yards per carry average. May 16th, 1948, Little Falls, Minnesota. The South Dakota State center Jim Langer arrived to have his birth certificate signed. Langer, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's bio on him, walked on to the 1970 Miami Dolphins as a free agent. He soon became a starter and even played every offensive snap of the Miami Dolphins' perfect season of 1972, needing the help of a teammate only on 3 of 500 snaps of blocking assignments that year. Jim was a 4-time All-Pro, played in 3 Super Bowls and in 6 Pro Bowls. Jim Langer had his body of NFL work enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1987. May 16, 1966, Houston, Texas. Oklahoma State's running back from 1984 through the 1987 season, Thurman Thomas, was born. Thomas, according to the footballfoundation.org, was a first-team All-America pick in 1985, as well as a consensus choice in 1987. For his collegiate career, Thurman Thomas amassed 4,847 rushing yards and 43 touchdowns at Oak State, catapulting him into school and conference record books. His career rushing yardage is second best all-time in the conference, trailing only the 2006 College Hall of Fame maker Mike Rozier of Nebraska. Thurman Thomas's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 2008. The Buffalo Bills wisely selected Thomas in the second round of the 1988 NFL Draft. He was a perfect fit for the style of offense that head coach Mark Levy employed with the Bills, aiding both in the run game as well as catching passes out of the backfield. He played in the NFL for 13 seasons, appearing in 4 Super Bowls with the Bills. He was named to the league's All-Decade Team of the 1990s, and Thurman received the great honor of being the NFL's MVP in 1991, and according to the ProFootballHOF.com website, he recorded 8 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons running with the ball. Thomas retired as the NFL's 9th-ranked rusher with 12,074 yards and added another 4,458 yards on 472 catches. He scored 65 rushing and 23 receiving touchdowns in his 13-year career. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined the brilliant NFL career of Thurman Thomas in the year 2007. Now, how is that for a group of birthday Hall of Famers for this May 16th? That's a pretty snazzy one with some great storylines and some great athletes, great players, and no wonder that these guys are in the Hall of Fame, because they just did some remarkable things, both in college and the pro game. Just spectacular. And a couple of those I got to watch. Some of the other ones, just get to read about and maybe find some old YouTube clips here and there, but spectacular players all the same, and it's great to learn about these players, maybe even some of the ones you do know a little bit about, but just to be refreshed on great things they did, like Thurman Thomas, just a fantastic running back, both at the college and the pro level, and very deservedly being in the Hall of Fame of both the college and the pro level. So make sure you check us out each and every day for great football history. PigskinDispatch.com has the podcasts that we have out each and every day. Sometimes we have two in a day, usually about 10 to 11 every week. And we always have at least a dozen or more great podcasts for you on football history. You can find it at pigskindispatch.com. You can also find us at the sportshistorynetwork.com, along with about 20 other great podcasters who are some great celebrity hosts, guests, just some very interesting topics of sports history throughout all eras of the world, in all regions of the world. Just some great things, because sportshistorynetwork.com is truly your headquarters of sports yesteryear. And we got a special feature coming out today, this May 16th. If you check us out at pigskindispatch.com, we are introducing the inaugural version of the Football Funnies pages, because we're going to try to do this every Sunday. We have a collection. This week we're posting up a couple of our original comic strips, you know, Cleat Marks Comics, and we have those guys that ride the pine, our favorite bench warmers, that their perspective. But we also get to enjoy, remember we had them on like about a week and a half ago, Gary Gergiora, who has the NFL Cliches book, has kindly decided to share some of his great comic humor with us in our Football Funny pages. So look forward to his too, and there's an opportunity to look up where you can buy his great book too. But we're going to have this out every Sunday, just like your Sunday Funny pages like you used to have when you were a kid, a big comic section of the newspaper that was colorful and always intriguing when you were a kid, probably read it right after the sports page like I did. But we're going to try to put that in a more of a gridiron mode. So these are very football-oriented comic strips. And if you know anybody or you yourself wants to contribute to the Football Funny pages, just to get recognized, add a little bit of laughter and some smiles around the football world, please email me at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And we'll get you some details on that, and make sure, you know, we'll get you on our Football Funny pages on a future edition. So make sure you check out all those websites. Look at those Football Funny pages for today. Let us know how you feel about that. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.